Radio Sport.
2 minutes after 5 o'clock, good evening. Welcome to Manx Radio Saturday Sport Classified. Simon Quine with you here until around about 6 o'clock this evening, looking at a fairly depleted local football schedule today. We'll have full reaction from Tony Meppham. Also look ahead to next week's FA Cup. Two games in local rugby today, although only one of them a competitive match. Dave Christian joins me to look at those, and Ben Cunningham looking ahead to looking back at the first round of the Cup, Plate and Bowl, and we'll also have draws for all of those competitions as well. And Rob Pritchard at the Bowl bring us team news ahead of FC Isle of Man's game against Ramsbottom United this evening. That game kicking off at 6 o'clock. We should have team news from Rob in the next half an hour.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed.
And we'll start off, as always, with a look at the classified results, and beginning in football in Canada Life Men's Premier League. The game between Union Mills and Peel was postponed. Ramsey Corinthians postponed. Douglas High School Old Boys Laxey postponed. Those three games off due to a waterlogged pitch. Braddon nil, Rushen 3. Foxdale Air United postponed. St John's United against Onchan postponed. Again, both those games due to a waterlogged pitch. Ardenland Druggan Limited Division 2, Moran 4. Douglas Royal 2. We're awaiting a result for the game between St George's and Governors Athletic. If you know that, 166, 177, please. Pulrose United, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys postponed. Castletown 5, Maloo 1. Canada Life Combination 1. The game between Onchan and Air United was awarded a home win to Onchan due to Air United being unable to field a team. And the game between Rushen United and Union Mills was also awarded a home win to Rushen United due to Union Mills being unable to field a team. Corinthians 10, Foxdale 0 and Laxey 4, St Mary's 2. Ardenland Druggan Limited Combination 2, Michael United against Maloo postponed. Douglas Royal 0, Moran 5. Rams Youth Centre and Old Boys 2, Pulrose United 3, Colby 7, Douglas and District 2, Jims 6, Governors Athletic 0. Moving on to rugby, Regional 2 Northwest, Northwich 10, Douglas 30, and a friendly game between the Northwich 3rd 15 and Douglas Celts finished Northwich 3rd 15 10, Douglas Celts 57. In hockey, Men's Cup first round, Harlequins A 1, Vikings A 1, Vikings A winning 4-2 on penalty flicks. Valkyries A 4, Backers A 8. Ladies' Cup first round, Backers A2, Valkyries A2, Valkyries A winning 3-2 on penalty flicks. Castletown B 0, Castletown A 6. Men's Plate first round, Valkyries B2, Ramsey A3. Ladies' Plate first round, Vikings B5, Backers C1. We're awaiting a result in the game between Ramsey A, Castletown C. That should have finished fairly recently, 166, 177, if you have the details. Men's Bowl first round, Ramsey B, 0, Backers C, 15. Harlequins C2, Castletown C, 0. Ladies Division 2, Castletown D, 0, Ramsey B, 3. And in the Mix Under-15s League, Vikings 3, Castletown Sabres 5. Awaiting the result of the Ramsey Rogues and Rascals Valkyries game. And Backers 5, Harlequins 0. And we'll just go back to football first of all, and bring Tony Meppham in first of all, because not an ideal week with the weather we've had, of course, here on the Isle of Man. But looking at that, it's 7 games off due to waterlogged pitch. 2 games are off that we did manage to award a result to. But where does this leave you in terms of fixture congestion, Tony? Because I know when we spoke a couple of weeks ago, things were stacking up.
Yeah, a bit of a mess, to be honest with you, Simon. We're probably up to 100 now. And I think a couple of clubs have actually played on the pitches today and wish they hadn't, because they've cut up. And already they're making plans because they're in the FA Cup next week. But we'll bring that later on. But yeah, it's just one of those, because I think clubs are just getting fed up now, because it's postponement, postponement, postponement. They just want to play football, and the players do lose interest. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, suddenly towards the end of the season, you know, we usually start maybe 2 weeks after the clocks go backwards, forwards, whatever it is. And this time I think we're going to have to bring it forward even sooner. But we've got some rearranged dates coming up. But yeah, it's a problem. And when you look at Division 2 as well, they play each other 3 times. But I'm halfway through, I think, that third game set of fixtures, so that's not too bad. But Yeah, just be patient with us. We're trying our best to get games on, and even though the fixtures are out for next week, we'll have a little look tonight, see if we can add any from the games that were cancelled today, and try and get them numbers down.
Okay, only the one game in the Canada Life Men's Premier League did go ahead today, and that finished Braddon 0, Russian 3. A good chance for Russian to keep the pressure on those three or four teams just directly above them.
Yeah, it is, but I think Russian, Andrew Moody, the manager, will be looking at it and thinking, you know, we've dropped too many silly points over the last sort of few games. And, you know, today, the one against Braddon, I predicted last night that it would be a tight affair, but Russian have got it right. And this is the way football can go sometimes. And Ashley Bake, centre-back, got one of the goals. Matty Lamb, who has been playing for FC Alamann this year, he got a couple of goals for Russian. So they'll be happy with that. 3-0, good result for them, and they'll build on that. And they've got a cup game next week against Moran.
OK, we move on to Ardlan Drugan Limited Division 2. And first of all, we'll start off with the game you were at, which was Moran against Douglas Royal. Before we get into the action from that, Tony, I think you owe a little fan at that game an apology for your prediction in the Leeds-Arsenal game.
Definitely. Ryan Kelly, if you're listening, who manages Union Mills, his son was down there. I think he's about 3 years of age, and he had a Leeds kit on. And just making conversation, as I do, just said to him, who's your team playing today? And I think he said Arsenal, and I just said, we're going to beat you. Well, I said it'd be 3-0. Well, last time I heard, I don't know what the final score is, 4-0, but I think I upset him, actually. So Ryan will probably send me a message tonight, but I was right with the score, so you can't get too upset because I predicted it, even though it's 4-0. I said 3-0, so... yeah,
you knew which way it was going to go.
Shame on Brody. He's a nice young lad, though, and he's proud to wear the kit. And everyone else is wearing shirt, jumpers, hats and scarves and everything. And he's there with his full football kit on. Dedicated fan.
It really is. OK, good game, though, finishing round 4, Douglas Royal 2.
Yeah, and it was a good game to watch, to be honest with you. And, you know, in commentary, I said right at the start of the game, within 15 minutes, Douglas Royal looked really sharp. They're having chances up front. Jordan Cowan going through the middle on the left-hand side. And they were very busy. Langton, it was Jacob Langton, very quick, and one of the moves, he had so much space and time. I think it was just one of them where you say, well, what am I going to do here? Where am I going to put it? And he put it wide, but it was Moran who just kept chipping away, and Conor Gilbert got one. I thought Parker, the centre-back, got a touch to it, but I was told no, it wasn't an own goal. So 1-0 it was to Moran, and then Moran got their second one, Conor Gilbert again, and 2-0 looking comfortable. But in the second half, it was totally different. I thought Douglas Royal had a great spell. Some really good young players coming through there. And, you know, you just say, stay with them. You know, mm-hmm. Hopefully they'll come through. And it was one of those sort of halfway there sort of younger players. Bailey Ashton, he's not that old. He got a goal, and then he got a penalty as well to pull two goals back for Douglas Royal. But I think it was once that Carl Hartman goal went in, and it was 3-1. Then obviously Bailey's goal made it 3-2. Kurzweck, it was a great move down the left hand side. Ball came across, and Kurzweck was there to finish it off to make it 4-2, and that was it all over. So it's 3 points from around. They dropped the points last week, but I know it's Rob's favourite team. He's tipping them to sort of go up with either Colby or Castletown. And today they did them justice because they got the 3 points out of it, and they move on to a big cup game next week because they used to play in Russian in the league, but this year playing in Division 2, and they'll be looking to see if they can get something out of that game against Russian.
And just looking at Rob's prediction there, we cast an eye on the table here, still got four games in hand over Colby and Castletown, and they are 15 points behind Castletown and 16 points behind Colby. So if they can win those four games in hand, they really are in the mix, and I'm going to assume they've got to play both of those teams again.
Yeah, it is. And it just shows that, you know, if you stick at it and try and get the results, you know, to go your way. And let's face it, you know, somewhere along the line, Castletown are going to drop more points. You know, when they look at it, they dropped points against St George's recently. And you've just got to try and win as many games as you can of the teams around you, and don't drop points off the teams down the bottom. Moran's great facility. They've got really good young players there. Probably four or five newish players in. This year, I know, you know, Mike Hughes, he came in last year, but he's a really good player. And they've got people there, Conor Gilbert's in great scoring form. Defensively, Dave Reynolds is immense at the back for them. And Harry Holby in goals. That's a good team right the way through it. And if they can stay at it, they can get promoted, I think.
Okay, you mentioned St George's there. We are still awaiting details of St George's.
Just got that in, Simon, if you want it. I don't know what details I've got. I'll just check. But thanks to Carl Gartland, the manager, putting the information through, and St George's have won 2-0, so that's 3 wins out of 3 for them. So well done. See if we can get any goal scorers on that through. No, nothing's come through just yet, so we'll see if it'll come through later on. Yeah, it's coming through now. Johnny Quirk with both goals. So Johnny got one in the first game against Castletown. He's just got another two. So Johnny's in good form. And, you know, well done to Carl, because that was the poison chalice this year, that job. Mm-hmm. And he's taken it on. He left Old Boys and he's come in. And he's got some young players coming through. And Alex Ringham, they signed him this morning. He's a good player. So he'll come into that team. And hopefully St George's can improve their league position and then build on it for next season.
Okay, another dreaded postponement on the sheet in front of me. Pulverhose United against Rams Youth Centre and Old Boys. Again, another waterlogged pitch. But one more game in Ardent Drug and Limited Division 2. Finished at Castletown 5, Maloo 1.
Yeah, I think Maloo really fancied their chances in this game, and I thought they'd be a lot closer too. But it was near enough over and done with at half-time. 3-0 to Castletown after 45 minutes. Not too sure who scored the goals to get them in that way, but Alex Crawley certainly got a hat-trick today, so... If I remember rightly, that's something like over 300 goals now he scored for Castletown in like 500 appearances. Amazing. And Ross Crawford is score partner. He got a couple of goals as well. Haven't got Mullie's goal scorer.
Canada Life Combination 1. Two games that didn't go ahead. First of all, Onchan against Ayr United was awarded a home win to Onchan, with Ayr unable to field a team.
Yep.
And Rushen United against Junior Mills, likewise home win to Rushen United, because Junior Mills were unable to field a team, which means we move on to Corinthians 10, Foxdale 0.
Yeah, and Corinthians remain top of the table, which is good news for them. And I've also got a bit of a match, well, not even a match report, a comment actually, from the referee in this game, and I'd like to read it out if I can, Simon. Hi, Tony. I covered your combi game today and had to make a point of going into the changing rooms afterwards to congratulate the lads, because it's the best combination football I've seen, and I've seen a lot of it. Foxdale weren't great and did make it easy, but still really talented, a lot of talented young players in there for Foxdale coming through. So well done to them. I also made a point of just explaining to Foxdale, it happens like this, you rebuild your team and then you go again. And he says what was really pleasing to him, that there was no sort of having a go at each other at Foxdale, even though they lost 10-0. They were all encouraging, and that's only good for the club, and well done. And I've noticed that in Foxdale's first team, to be honest with you, Simon. There's some really good young players coming through, a couple of lads up front, and it's all looking good for them. It's just a question of, you know, getting them experienced, mm-hmm. and with the other players around them, and they'll build on it and hopefully get back in the Premier League.
Okay, great. We move on to the final game in Combination 1, which finished at Laxey 4, St Mary's 2.
Yeah, and I think with this one, it was all sort of down to sort of St Mary's sort of throwing it away, because Frank Jones, when you see players like him in there, they're you know, good goal scorer, so he got one. Therese Thompson got the other one. I have to say it, because he's a friend of mine. Craig Cowan missed a penalty. That's poor, that Craig. You'll have to improve on that one. Laxey, I haven't got their goal scorers. If you could text us through, please. 166-177, but it was 2-1 at half-time, 4-2 at the end.
I've actually got a report in here from Laxey's point of view, which yep. reads, tough game for the young Laxey team against a physically stronger St Mary's team. St Mary's went 1-up in the first 10 minutes. Laxey battled hard to go 2-1 up. St Mary's had two players sin-binned at the end of the first half after Laxey's second goal. Laxey started the second half well. St Mary's, once they got their two players back, really put the pressure on Laxey, with Laxey's keeper making some fantastic saves. Laxey scored to make it 3-1, and St Mary's scored to make it 3-2. In the last 10 minutes, Laxey got a penalty for a foul against Noah Campbell. Big Rob scored from the spot. Only a minute later, at the other end, Big Rob handled the ball in his own area and was sent off. That's quite an eventful end to the game.
For Big Rob.
Yeah. So Mary's penalty was saved by Harvey Turner, Laxey keeper. Special mention to 16-year-old Aaron Chadwick, who marked Frank Jones all game and did a great job. Goals for Laxey from Jonah Kenny. Big Rob, Eric Hill, St Mary's Frank Jones. Not sure of the other one, which you've already touched on. And shout out to Lorcan, the young ref, who did really well.
Yeah, and the referees, there's two or three really good, excuse me, young referees coming through. And it's just nice to see that the teams that are out there are respecting them, you know, mm-hmm. because they're 18, 19 or even less and showing respect. And that's important, because we need them. We really are struggling for referees. And it's great to see these young lads are being appreciated. And actually, they're enjoying it, mm-hmm. which you know, amazes me. So well done to them as well.
We'll come back to that a little bit later on too. Yep. Just go through the Combi 2, Ardent Drug Unlimited Combination 2, Michael United, Malou postponed due to a waterlogged pitch, but quite a few results in this division, and we'll start off with Douglas Royal 0, Moran 5.
Yeah, and unfortunately that's all the news I've got on that one, because I haven't got any Moran's goal scorers, but I believe and nice touch from Douglas Royal, that Moran's goalkeeper was absolutely brilliant. So that's probably why the score finished up 5-0 to Moran.
It sounds like a good game in the north. Arden Ramsey Central Old Boys 2 and Paul Rose United 3.
Yeah, and it's for Paul Rose, it was James Clark with two of the goals, and Leo Dido, I think it was, who got the other one. And I think Keith has just texted through, he has. The scorers for Ramsey Youth Centre. End-to-end, belter of a game, he says. Really good. Even Johnson got one, and Martin Murphy got the other one. I've just had a match report through, and he's done well in getting it all typed out for us in this space of time. So we better give him a bit of thing on this one, because there's a lot on it. Let's just check that we've got the same one through. I think it's come through on WhatsApp, actually. Where are we? No, it hasn't come through. It's come through the other one. So we'll check on that one and try and give a report. But you give a match report on the Moran against Douglas Royal game.
And big win for Paul Rose, that in terms of the table just extends their advantage at the top of combination too.
Yeah, it does. I know they slipped up. I think it was against Athletic. But, you know, they're still up there. Douglas Athletic are going to be there or thereabouts. But there's a right good battle going in the combination leagues. And, you know, Rams Youth Centre today will be disappointed in just slipping away from them points. Paul Rose took all three.
And speaking of action at the top of combination two, Colby looking to keep pace with a 7-2 win over Douglas and District.
Yeah, and I think Douglas and District, we'll touch on them first. David Allen got the first goal for D&D. That's his first of the season, so well done, David. Joel Kenyuk got a goal as well, and that's his third goal of the season. So the young players coming through the Douglas and District system are doing really well, but for Colby, far too strong. I mean, you see some of these names, you can understand why. You've got Jack Foden, Jason Ladd got one, Eden Ludgate got a goal. Then you've got Sam Wooland. You've also got Rhys Phillips got one, and James Cordor, I think it was, who got the other one. So plenty of goals flying in. And on this one as well, I think it's Connor Keenan that refereed today. He's another young player that's taken up the whistle. It's only his second game, and by all accounts, absolutely fantastic. So well done to him.
And the final game for today, Jim's 6, Governors Athletic 0.
Yeah, and we haven't got Jim's scorers, but again, another young referee coming through the system came in. Again, this is only his second game as well. And Simon Hansen says, you know, great to see these new referees coming through, fresh face, fresh way of refereeing, because he's learning. Absolutely brilliant. So well done, whoever it is, take a bow.
I think this is really interesting, because I think it was probably about 12, 18 months ago, Tony, we were talking about referees and the recruitment drive to bring referees into the game. And ultimately what you need is you need these referees to show up, but you also need the players to treat them with respect and make people want to do this and enjoy this. And there was a, you know, was that going to be possible to do that? And certainly, like you say, bring these young 17, 18 year olds in. It's fantastic to hear that not only are they coming in and enjoying it, but they're getting that respect from the players, from the clubs and from the football fans around the island.
Absolutely spot on, Simon. It's so important. And I don't know, I hear from Ben at times, you know, where maybe a hockey player's misbehaved, but in football, there seems to be a lot more at the moment, the will to win. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to take that away from our sport. But what we need to do is, we're struggling big time with referees. So we want new referees to come in, young referees to come in, to learn the game, stay with the game. We've got some great middle sort of referees now are coming through, and they're going level 4s, level 5s. That's high. But these young ones, we need to come in, because they're very enthusiastic. But the older players need to show respect. And I think they realise now, because we're losing quite a few games. We've probably lost maybe 6 this season with no referees. And we keep, you know, hammering the doors at the clubs, just saying to them, listen, you know, we're in a panic mode here. You need to be able to work with us. And hopefully it's starting to sink in, and some great reports coming through. And it has to go down to as well, you know, the coaching of the referees, the mentoring, you know, the referees development officer, everyone work as a team. It's not an individual effort, and hopefully they'll pick up. But there's so many good referees out there who can pass on that advice. When I look at Tommy Crowe, Colin Cool's mentoring, Kevin Maitland, if you're listening to those three guys, it can only make you a better referee, and hopefully they'll climb up the ladder, and that's what's happening.
And that's like you say there, then it does testament, or is testament, should I say, to the coaching that's going on, because referees only come in the spotlight really when they get things wrong. And, you know, everyone makes mistakes. It's only human. And especially, you know, a lot of these games you're running without linesmen or assistant referees, as you call them now, that, you know, they are going to make the odd mistake. But if the better they're being coached, that's obviously going to result in less frustration from the players. And everybody is just going to have a much more enjoyable experience.
Yeah, and I would hope there's another referees course coming up shortly. So they're working on the organisation of that one. But I don't see it happening much, whether it goes on behind the scenes and we don't pick up on it. But maybe some more, you know, coaching courses, actually bringing the officials in, because they don't have linesmen, is, you know, if they did become a linesman, like today, the game I covered, two linesmen, a referee, but Liam Thomas, vastly experienced, Nick Cowell, another, he's, you know, sort of flying through the system. And then you've got Peter Greenhill, who's referee Man United against Arsenal. When you've got people like that, then you've got to learn and listen from them and get them involved so they can pass on their skill set and maybe train in down the bowl. I know it's difficult to get a venue to actually just, you know, sort of see things. And I've had a couple of phone calls this year from referees who have actually said, I know you're not qualified in this sort of side, Tony, but is there anything that you've seen that maybe I need to alter? And actually, I'd noticed a couple of things and I've told them, and they've actually not done it. And the next game I've watched them. So, you know, maybe that's just what they need. They're concentrating on the game, but they need feedback as well. And as long as it's constructive feedback, they won't turn that away. Mm-hmm. They want to be as good as they can be. But that information needs to come in a direct manner, but in a nice manner, from maybe players and stuff at the end of the game. Just have a little chat with them. This is what I thought. And if they do well, let them know. Give them a bit of praise. And, you know, it's great to see today we've had three top performances by young players, and none of them are all connected, so it just shows you that the system is now starting to work.
Okay, we move on to next week, and it's ECAP FA Cup again next week.
It is, right, just to tell you what work's going on at the moment. Castletown Stadium, I think, is cut up today, so Castletown are already in talks with Corinthians. Corinthians cut up today, so you know whether anything can be sorted out, but we'll see what we can do, get the games on. It's important to keep it flowing. Well done to Marown. Marown have already looked at their pitch, even though it hasn't cut up. It needs a rest from the water, because this is the problem. It's not going away. When we get two or three dry days, suddenly we get an absolute pounding like we had Wednesday this week, and last night it absolutely trounced it down. And they've already consulted with Russian and just said, listen, if you want, we'll move the game down to yours, which is, you know, the way to do. And, you know, just get in touch with me or the FA and we'll sort it out with changes. We don't mind if you change your venue. Like today, you know, the Foxtel game was supposed to go down to Colby. It didn't happen. And then that game was nearly so close to being on at the bowl because Moran's pitch was nearly fit, but they played safe and came off it. So we'll work with them. We just want to get the games out of the way.
And final thing, the Floodlit Cup, Peel beating Corinthians last week. That means they play each other tomorrow in the semi-finals.
I thought you might bring that up, being a Peel boy. But yeah, well, I said it last night and I'll say it again. You know, Peel hammered Corinthians last week 4-1. And all of the hard work was done in the second half for Peel, and I've seen the goals. And, you know, it's just one of those. They've got to put it behind them and sort of go for it. But I think Peel are just got the slight edge on Corinthians this year. They've already beaten them 2-1 on the grass. Now it's 4-1 on the Astro. It's the semi-final tomorrow, which to me, as a new, well, not neutral, but as a football fan, I think it's great, because it means that a team like Douglas Royal or Onken are going to get to play in the final the following week. And that's how quick it's going to be, because the final is next Sunday, 2:45 kickoff. And, you know, Corinthians appeal. Corinthians have got to play a lot better tomorrow than they did against Peel last week. But with Sarah Wignall and Becky Corkish in there, it's going to be hard on others. It's going to be hard for them. And, you know, Onken and Douglas Royal, if Royal have got it right, then they can make it very difficult for Onken. But Casey Halswell plays, she's some player. And, you know, just her on her own can make things very, very tight for a side to try and get some goals.
All right, Tony, thank you very much. No evening down the bowl for you tonight?
No, it was my good lady's birthday on Thursday, and I promised to take her out, but obviously I've had a little bit of an accident at work, so She doesn't want me to go with a bandage around my head, so we're going to sit that one out, and I'll take her away. Well, she's away next week, but maybe the week after. But yeah, at the moment, stop laughing, Ben.
An evening match of the day for you, then.
Yeah, yeah. I'll watch Match of the Day and I'll watch Arsenal win, whatever it was.
All right, Tony, thank you very much.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed.
It is 27 minutes after 5 o'clock, and let's head over to Dave Christian for a look back at today's rugby action.
Yeah, good evening, Simon. Rugby was funny today as well, with a very, very short programme. Just two senior fixtures on today. That's not as a result of the weather. It's just the way the fixture list has fallen. Ramsey and Vagabonds play in Counties 3, ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire. That's a two-part league. And we've finished the end of part one, and part two starts on the 14th of February. So just a little gap for Ramsey and Vagabonds. Vagabonds ladies, no fixture today either. They play next weekend. The good news today, and it is fantastic news, Lady Luck has finally smiled in Douglas's direction. Douglas in Regional 2 Northwest have had a pretty torrid couple of months. They were top of the league at the end of November, and then they won, or they lost 5 out of the next 6 games. Today, finally, we're back on track. They won 30-10 away at Northwich, with a bonus point as well. They scored 4 tries or more, and that definitely keeps them in the hunt. And if Carlsberg did rugby days, it would have been today, because Douglas's close rivals for the playoff spots, Sandbach, lost away at Firwood Waterloo. And in the chasing pack coming just behind Douglas, Burnage and Widnes were within 2 points, and they both lost this afternoon, which leaves Douglas just a point behind third place Sandbach and gives them now a 6-point cushion from the chasing pack. So it's actually gone absolutely perfectly for Douglas this afternoon. Tries for Douglas today, Harry Cartwright, Simon Hoddenott. Hoddenott scored his second in 2 games. He was on the score sheet last week as well. Harry Hewson and Craig Martin all in for the tries. Matty Wood converted 2 and added 2 penalties. Douglas have brought forward their fixture from the 14th of February against Birkenhead Park, and they will host Birkenhead Park at Portishead next Saturday, the 7th of February, before getting a nice 2-week break, which should just get the players back into shape for the pointy end of the season. And remember, this league, the top 4 will go into a playoff situation to decide which teams get promoted and which teams don't, and Douglas just need to finish in that top 4 to get into those places. A second place finish is probably going to suit them best, because that means they'll get a home fixture in the playoffs. But that's all to come. At the moment, they're nicely poised, but there are some tough games to come. I think they have to go to league leaders North Ribblesdale in their final match of the scheduled season, and that'll be tough. They'll hopefully, or they'll have their fingers crossed, that they get into position to secure a playoff space before they go anywhere near North Ribblesdale. This afternoon as well, the second game, that was Douglas Celts. They're about to start action in the Hartford Homes Manx Cup. That gets underway next Saturday. And the Celts travelled away with their first team for a friendly against Northwich's thirds. Celts won that one 57-10. And the notable players from that game were George Evans and Charlie Henthorne, who both scored 2 tries each. And there were also scores this afternoon from the captain, Cal Denteth, Joey Dale, Matty Clegg and Jonty Shimon. And in true friendly spirit, the players were converting their own tries-ish, is what Phil Kringles told me. Not quite sure what that means, but congratulations to Douglas this afternoon. 2 wins for them, 1 in the friendly, but the big win and the good luck for them in Regional 2 Northwest was that 30-10 win at Northwich and all their rivals slipping up. Simon.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed.
Thanks very much, Dave Christian. And that takes us on to hockey. We do have a couple of draws to do in hockey. But first of all, Ben, we'll look at the results today. And we'll start off in the Men's Cup first round. The early game between Harlequins A and Vikings A, it finished 1-1. But then a penalty flicks come into play, with it being a cup game, and Vikings taking the win 4-2.
Yeah, a really close game, this one. I did think it was going to be a close one when I previewed this with Rob on Friday Sport last night. Ronan Santanatolio got the goal for Harlequins, and then I believe within the last 2 minutes of the game, Vikings equalised to make it 1-1. with Jacob Hardings getting the goal there. And then obviously it went down to Flicks and the Vikings keeper came out on top. Harry Woods there making two crucial saves to give Vikings aid the win on penalty flicks, and they go into the hat for the next round.
And the second game in the Men's Cup first round to make up the semi-finals, Valkyries A against Backers A. It finished 8-4 to Backers A. Scorelines like this always fascinate me because I always wonder what the story of the game was, because this could have gone any which way, couldn't it, with a scoreline like that?
And I'd love to tell you the story, but unfortunately, I've only got it from one side of the teams, and that is from Valkyries. I'm missing the 8 goal scorers from Backers A. So if you can text them through 166177, but yeah, a game of two halves really, from what we've been hearing, and it could have gone either way. Backers were scoring and Valkyries were scoring, and just Backers have found the extra gear to get the 8 goals to put them in the hat for the next round. For Valkyries though, it was Sam Moffat with 2, Chris Adams with 1 and Oscar Lace with 1. And then, as we say, we are missing the 8 goal scorers for Backers A.
Okay, 166177 if you do have those details. Moving on to the Ladies' Cup first round, Backers A2, Valkyries A2 again going to penalty flicks, with Valkyries A coming out on top 3-2.
Yeah, great result here for Valkyries A. They're now top of the league and now into the semi-final of the Ladies' Cup. Backers A goal scorers were Sophie Hudson and Leah Meller. And then the goal scorers for Valkyries were Ellen Devereaux and Andrea Littlejohn. And one thing to note, I have seen that Valkyries A ladies have took a liking to Jason, because Jason gave them a shout out this afternoon. So I know my place. But 3-2 to Valkyries on penalty flicks.
And the Ladies' Cup first round, second game, the Castletown Derby. Probably the result you'd expected here. Castletown B 0, Castletown A 6.
Yeah, and by the looks of it, Castletown B gave their A team a good run for their money. But it was only just 6 goals. It could have been more, but 6 goals it is. Lucy Allen with 2. Ashley Lynchon with 1, Evie Watson with 1, Sarah Farragher with 1, and Eden McCubbin with 1.
Okay, we move on to the men's plate first round. Valkyries B2, Ramsey A3.
Yeah, really close game this, and Ramsey A coming just out on top, and they are both, Ramsey A are top of men's Division 1, and they'll be delighted now that they've overcome potentially one of their rivals in the in the plate and before they play them in the league as well. Ollie Webster with 1 and Russ Miller with 1 for Valkyries B. And then for Ramsey A, it was Connor Parfitt, Kyle Kane and Jordan Parkinson. Ramsey A go through to the semi-final draw.
Ladies plate first round. The first game is Vikings B5, Backers C1.
Yeah, Morgan Braywood with a hat-trick and Julie Jacobs with 2 goals for Vikings B. And then the goal scorer for Backers C was Grace Evans. But yeah, I said this in the preview last night with Rob. Vikings B, I think, are very much underdogs. Mm-hmm. I think they could very much surprise a few teams this year. They're looking very strong.
This sounds like it's going to be like Moran's prediction. Tony will be claiming this in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. There you go.
Second game in the ladies' plate first round was a game we were missing when we did the classified results. It has since come in. We knew it would be ending around about 5 o'clock. It was Ramsey A 8, Castletown C 0.
Yeah, and Castletown C have said that they had to borrow players from their ladies' D team in this game. So credit to Castletown C for getting the team out against a very strong Ramsey A side, it has to be said. 8-0, like you say, Simon. Christina Kameen with 3 goals, Victoria Garner with 1, Sarah Ball with 1, Sarah Kinraid with 1, and Joe Quine with 1.
And the men's bowl first round, Ramsey B 0, Backers C 15. It sounds a very one-sided game on paper, but I understand there were some extenuating circumstances around this result.
Yeah, and I do want to talk about this game. I umpired this game this morning, and Ramsey B very much could have forfeited this game due to injuries and unavailability. They were only able to field 8, and at one point they did have 9 players on the pitch. But credit to Ramsey, because they didn't forfeit the game. They played the game. They played their socks out. And okay, Backers have gone away 15-0 winners, but it must be said, a big credit to Ramsey A. I mean, there was players that Ramsey B had pulled out of retirement. I mean, Keith Corkill, I don't know how old he is. I'm not going to try and guess his age, but You've still got it, Keith. You've still got it. But yeah, 15-0 win for Backers C today. Dan Stevenson with 5, Christian Davies with 1, Kyle Bennion with 1, Miles Stevens with 1, Jazz Singer with 1, Dylan Honeyman with 2, and Ian Dugger on the score sheet as well. But a big win there for Backers C. But it has to be said, credit to Ramsey B for not forfeiting the game and getting and just going and playing and enjoying themselves.
Okay, Men's Bowl first round, second game on the fixture list is a familiar scorer on the sheet in front of me here. Harlequin C2, Castletown C0.
Yeah, but he did get simbined about two as well in the game. I won't touch on that one too much, but I do wish the Castletown player a speedy recovery. Yeah, but yeah, 2 goals for some fella called Ben Cunningham. Yeah, right. But yeah, it was a great game. 0-0 at half time, and it only happened in the last 5 minutes where a breakthrough came through for Harlequin C, and then a second came just before the end, giving Harlequin C the win. But credit to Castletown, it was a really good end-to-end game. It could have gone either way, but yeah, some fella called Ben Cunningham just decided to put the ball in the back of the net twice.
I'm glad you managed to get that in there. Right, we'll do the draw for the cup plate and bowl very shortly. We'll just first of all deal with the one league game that took place today. It was in Ladies Division 2, Castletown D, Ramsey B, and it finished 3-0 win to Ramsey B.
Yeah, of course, with the ladies bowl going straight through to a semi-final stage, it meant that we could have a bit of a catch-up with the Ladies Division 2 because there's a couple of games need to be games need to be rescheduled because of weather conditions. So Ramsey played Castletown D today, and that was a 3-0 win to Ramsey B. Hannah Wild with 2 and Isla Rulesall with 1 for Ramsey B.
And the mixed under-15s league, Vikings 3, Castletown Sabres 5.
Yeah, great result this. For Castletown Sabres, it was Oscar Gazarski. Sorry if I've pronounced that wrong, I probably have. Barney B. Fivian with 1. Scarlett Crompton Harvey with 1. And Charlie Villerga with 2 goals. The goals for Vikings came from Theo Roberts with 2. And I can't read my own writing. James Biker with 1.
Ramsey Rogues and Rascals against Falcons. We didn't have this, but I've had this in there. Have you got the details of this?
I've got the score as Ramsey Rogues and Rascals 5, Falcons 7.
That's the same information I've got. Have you got any details?
I don't have any details.
I've got scorers for Ramsey, Cam Ayres with 2, Sylvie Lincoln with 2, and Jed Dixon Howells with 1. Cam Ayres, player of the match and centre mid, controlled the game up and down the pitch for 70 minutes, is the report I've had in.
Great stuff there. But yeah, great. That sounds an absolute filling game, that.
And that takes us on to the last one, which finished again in the mix under-15s. Backers 5, Harlequins 0.
Yeah, great result there for Backers. Carter Whitehead with 3 goals for Backers. Marcus Creer and Florence Edwards all on the score sheet for Backers under-15s.
Okay, that is the scores and results from hockey today. I said goodbye to Tony Meppham and I forgot he's actually hanging around
I've recruited him to do a draw for me. A couple of draws.
They're escaping. So we're moving on to the semi-final draw for the Men's Cup, Ladies' Cup, Men's Plate, Ladies' Plate and Men's Bowl. So, Ben, I'll let you just go through exactly what it is we've got to get through here.
Okay, so we've got, as you say, the Men's Cup, Men's Ladies' Cup, Men's Plate, Ladies play and the Men's Bowl all to draw the semi-finals. Obviously we've got 4 teams now left in the running in all the cups, so we're going to start with the Men's Cup first. I'm not going to reveal who's what number because I want to leave everyone on tenterhooks here. So Tony, when you are ready, if you want to pull out the first one.
First one out is number 3,
and that is Vikings A,
and they will play number 2,
Castletown A.
Number 1
is Backers A
against number 4,
Vikings B. So the Men's Cup draw is Vikings A against Castletown A and Backers A v Vikings B. So we're going to move on to the Ladies Cup draw now. So when you're ready, Tony.
Okay. Number 3.
Number 3 is Valkyries A.
We'll play number 2.
Harlequins A.
Third one out is 1.
Castletown A.
Number 4.
Against Vikings A. So the draw for the Ladies' Cup is Valkyries A v Harlequins A and Castletown A v Vikings A. So we're going to move to the men's plate now. Four teams in the running. So when you're ready, Tony.
Number two.
Is Castletown B.
Against three.
Which is Harlequins B.
Four.
Ramsey A.
Number one.
Backers B. So the draw for the men's plate is Castletown B v Harlequins B. And then Ramsey A v Backers B. Next one is the ladies' plate. Again, four teams in the running. When you're ready, Tony.
Number three.
Is Ramsey A.
Against two.
Against two, which is Valkyries B.
Four.
Is Vikings B.
And number one.
Is Backers B. So the draw for the ladies' plate semi-final is Ramsey A v Valkyries B. And Vikings B against Backers B. Which just leaves one more left to do, which is the men's bowl. Four teams in the running for this one. So when you are ready, Tony.
Number four.
Is Harlequin C.
We'll play two.
Backers C.
Number one.
Is Backers Colts.
And the final one is number three.
Against Vikings C. So the final draw there in the men's bowl for the semi-finals is Harlequin C v Backers C. And Backers Colts v Vikings C.
Okay, Ben. And Tony, thank you very much. Do we have fixture dates for those games yet, Ben?
Off the top of my head, yes, we do, but I can't remember.
That's okay. All the details of that and indeed the dates of the fixtures over at manxradio.com. Before I let you go, Ben, I've just had the details through for the Backers scorers and that Backers A, Valkyries A game. It was Johnny Callow with three, Tom Lothian with two, Andy Whiting with one, Will Wiseman with one, and Elliot Reed with one.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. And I apologies, Elliot. I didn't realise you were umpiring one of the later games, so I'll let you off for not getting the scorers in.
Ben Cunningham, thank you very much. And Tony Meppen, thank you as well for hanging around to help with the hockey draws. It is 17 minutes away from 6 o'clock. The Ravens in action at the Bowl. And Rob Pritchard is there with team news. Good evening, Rob.
Yeah, good evening, Simon. Good evening, everyone on Manx Radio AM 1368. Welcome back to the seat, if you like, under the floodlights at the Bowl ahead of this NWCFL Premier Division clash between FC Isle of Man and Ramsbottom United, with kickoff in just over 16 minutes' time. Turning to team news then, FC Isle of Man make a substantial number of changes to the side that suffered that 3-1 defeat in midweek away at Atherton Laburnum Rovers. Dropping out are Michael Williams. He, from what I'm told, picked up a knock during midweek. João Marquez, Will DeCandia and Lucas Watson all drop out this time. There are more to come in because they only had three on the bench in midweek FC Isle of Man. They now have a full squad of 16 available, so there are more additions than there are actual subtractions, if you like. Coming back in are Callum Sherry, Carl Watson, Steve Whitley, Dean Pinnington, Jacob Crook and Sean Kelly. They all come in and will start from the outset, and the other addition is Harry Best, who will start from the bench. For Ramsbottom United, a very different story. Just the one change from the team that beat City of Liverpool by just that solitary goal to nil 7 days ago. Matthew Dudley, one of their informed strikers, drops out of the squad this weekend. Coming in is Harvey Hayhurst, and he will start from the bench. So the starting 11s for both sides are as follows, starting with FC Isle of Man. In goal is Adam Killier, and then it's Callum Sherry, Josh Kane, Carl Clark, Captain Alex Maitland, Carl Watson, Steve Whitley, Dean Pinnington, Charlie Higgins, Jacob Crook and Sean Kelly. And the substitutes for FC Isle of Man, they are Harry Best, Cameron Dudley, Danny Gerrard, Jamie Cadwallader and Leo Tregurtha. And for Steve Wilkes' Ramsbottom United, in goal is Bradley Rose, and then it's Finlay Walbank, Maine Walder, Thomas McCann, Luke Barlow, Macaulay Wilson, Captain Richard Baker, Thomas Walker, Luke Sefton, Jacob Holland Wilkinson and Finlay Cross Adair. And the substitutes for Ramsbottom United are Harvey Hayhurst, Richard Whittingham, Corey Stacey, Aaron Bennett and Terry Cummings. Your referee this evening is Kieran Williams, and his assistants are Sam Palmer and Jim Gale. Now, for both these sides, they find themselves in contrasting situations when it comes to the NWCFL Premier Division table. Turning first to FC Isle of Man, in his pre-match notes in the programme this evening, FC Isle of Man's caretaker manager Rick Holden says he believes he's seen enough over the last two or three games to see his side adapting and showing more resilience. However, that's also coupled with a little bit of fragility in the squad, showing in the lack of availability that they sometimes have, particularly away from home in the last couple of weeks and when players are out with injury. However, they'll have to put those concerns aside this evening because on paper at least, they have a very stern task in front of them. Ramsbottom United start the weekend third in the table. They may be 10 points off the leaders, Withenshaw, but they have two games in hand on both Withenshaw at the top and Padiham in second. They'll be further boosted by the knowledge as well that they could move up to second tonight with Padiham losing by 3-2 at home to Atherton Laburnum Rovers. For FC Isle of Man more broadly, it's 4 defeats in the last 5, but of course they had a memorable win the last time they were on home soil here at the Bowl 7 days ago. A stunning Steve Whitley strike sealing a 3-2 win over South Liverpool, meaning that they are still 14 points clear of the relegation zone coming into this evening. How they'd like a result against the Ramsbottom United side that comprehensively beat them by 4-1 in the reverse fixture at the Harry Williams Riverside Stadium earlier in the season. With that particular fixture aside, the other meetings between these two have been pretty close. 4 of the 5 meetings in total have been won by just 1 goal. So could it be just one moment of magic from either side that sways things in either direction? Can FC Isle of Man give themselves a little bit more security than they have already towards the bottom of the table? Or can Ramsbottom United continue their aspect, if you like, their status, if you like, as maybe a dark horse for the NWCFL Premier Division title this season by taking maximum points like they did at the Bowl last season? So FC Isle of Man versus Ramsbottom United kickoff at 6 p.m. so in just under 13 minutes time, full live match commentary here on Manx Radio AM 1360 from myself and Darren Timpson from just before kickoff at 6 p.m.
Rob Pritchard, thank you very much. 12 minutes away from 6, and that's it for Saturday Sport Classified this week. Thanks very much to Tony Meppham, Dave Christian, Ben Cunningham and Rob Pritchard. And don't forget that commentary off the FC Isle of Man game coming up just before 6 o'clock this evening. The programme available for you to listen to on as a podcast at manxradio.com or wherever you get your podcasts from very shortly after broadcast. And for the next few minutes, we'll hand you back to Manx Radio Gold.